Scythians. Shout out on an all request Friday to Steven, who sent in this request. And Steven is a guy that owns Nick Robertson rookie cards, AK.
You know Steven?
I do know Steven.
Okay.
Shout out to Steven from Rattlesnake. Cause
easiest golf course in Canada.
Easiest golf course in Canada. And dude, this guy, he's the biggest Nick Robertson fan. And all I keep telling him is, man, I feel sorry for you for owning those cards. You probably should have bought his brother's cards.
I think if you have Jason Robertson cards right now, you're probably feeling a little bit better about your situation. Do we have Q Rich on the line? Okay, we do. All right. Thank you, guys. So we will bring in Quinn Richardson in just a moment. With big fans of Q Rich, a longtime NBAer, now an analyst with the Orlando Magic, a team that the Toronto Raptors play twice this weekend. So we'll get a good look at Bull. I love it. So let's bring him in, Quinn Richardson, here on First Up. What's going on, man? How are you?
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure.
Thanks for joining us, buddy.
What can we look forward to with Bull's performances in the coming days? I mean, this guy's been a social media superstar, unbelievable athlete. Got to be the bright spot for the Orlando Magic.
Yeah, move
so
over,
far this season.
Victor Wembanyama.
Yeah,
Bull's taking over.
This is Bull's time. What have you seen from this guy this year?
Man, I love him. He's quickly become one of my favorite players in the league to watch in the entire league, man. I mean, it's every single game he gets out there. Like, you'll see when he plays the Raptors, I guarantee you, it doesn't matter. At some point, he's going to do something. It doesn't have to necessarily be a score or anything. He's just going to do something on the court that's going to make you look to the side of you like, did you just see that? Like, every game, every game he does something that's like jaw-dropping, like, whoa, because, like, he's not supposed to be able to move and have the skills that he has at that size. So it's really amazing to watch him play.
Yeah, and it's really amazing to see, you know, how much he's developed, right? I mean, he's been a little bit of an NBA sort of prospect the last couple of years, and now seeming to hit his stride. And I wonder how much that has to do with the rookie sensation Paolo Banchero that the Magic drafted first overall. How encouraged have you been with his play lately?
Oh, man, yeah, I feel like he's going to be the rookie of the year. I think he has a really great opportunity. And, I mean, the thing that you'll see about him that's the biggest deal is that this is how you know in the NBA when you've got a guy that can score the ball. Just last game, he scored 23 points, and he 15 of them were free throws. He went to the free throw line 15. He shot 14 out of 15 times. So, I mean, when you can really still put points and score 20 points while having a bad night shooting, that shows that you know how to score, and you can be a scorer in this league. So I'm really looking forward to him growing and maturing and just getting more used to the NBA game because he's a huge talent.
Our guest is Quinn Richardson, former NBAer, studio analyst for the Orlando Magic, co-host of the Knuckleheads podcast with Darius Miles. Now, Q, you know exactly what it's like being a young player in the NBA, starting with the LA Clippers, and you had a quality rookie year. You took a big step in your second year. And for Scottie Barnes, I don't think he's regressed, but I think he's kind of remained the same type of player that he was in year one in year two. And there were a lot of people who thought that Scottie Barnes may have a breakout, just become a straight-up superstar in year two. How challenging is it from your experience, going from your rookie season to your sophomore year, all the expectations for progression? And what have you seen from Scottie Barnes in particular?
Well, I mean, the difference between myself and him is that, you know, his rookie year, he was unbelievable. So, I mean, he has to come back and match that. He was the rookie of the year. And, you know, he kind of took the league by storm. So with that comes great, huge expectations. And that doesn't mean that, in my eyes, I don't think he's taking a step back or anything. I think he's still on track to be a superstar in his league. He's a young player that I love to watch as well. But we also have to understand and recognize his surroundings. He's got Pascal. He's got OG who's coming on and having an unbelievable year. So, I mean, it's not the same scenario where he can really spread his wings and take off in that next year like people would expect him to.
Yeah, you mentioned OG Anunoby, who's been unbelievable for the Toronto Raptors. The number of steals he's racking up, I mean, he's definitely a leading contender for Defensive Player of the Year right now. But offensively, he's been taking a significant step as well. Are you surprised at all with the way that OG Anunoby has progressed, Q?
I'm not. I actually thought that this would have happened earlier in his career, but, I mean, obviously he battled some injuries and different things. And like I said, kind of the same thing about Scotty, man. That position, I mean, he's been fortunate, I think, OG, not the team, but he you know, Pascal's been in and out. Scotty's been in and out. That's giving him more of an opportunity because they kind of have a logjam on that wing with Boucher and all of these guys that are 6'9", 6'10", athletic, and can do a lot of different things. So I think all of that goes into both things with OG as well as Scotty Barnes. That opportunity is huge.
Q, I want to talk to you about some other news around the NBA because, you know, the Raptors play the Magic in back-to-back games, and, you know, we know where the Magic sit and where the Raptors sit, and we've talked about them a little right now, but help me understand the parody around the NBA that we're witnessing right now, with the New Orleans Pelicans right now leading the Western Conference with the best record. You see the Sacramento Kings that have taken a step this year. They're a top five team in the Western Conference. Are we supposed to believe that these teams are on the verge of a turnaround, or is it still too early to tell?
I think it's still early, but I also do believe that we're seeing kind of like a changing of the guard right now. You know, LeBron and some of our you know, elderly statesmen, superstars are kind of getting into that oldest phase to where you're going to see some of these younger guys start to emerge as the guys and their team start to, you know, kind of take form as well, as long as they're maturing. And I think, you know, Willie Green has done an amazing job with New Orleans, and the way he has those young guys playing, and Zion being healthy and back is a huge part of that as well. But I think that's just part of it, man. That's how it goes. You have to feel like, you know, when Kobe got old and the Lakers started to phase out, then it was becoming, you know, really literally just solely LeBron's league. It was no longer kind of like these guys up here is getting muddled. And, I mean, I think you see that. You see Giannis coming into his own. You got, you know, he's becoming like kind of like the face now. So, I mean, I think we just at that position where it's kind of like a changing of the guard for the league a little bit.
Well, speaking of the changing of the guard in the league, I want to know how you feel about load management that we're seeing around the league. And the reason why I asked that, you hate it. Okay, so because the reason why I asked that, you know, the Lakers come to Toronto a couple of nights ago and, you know, none of their star players play, and it's kind of like the fans are getting ripped off for that. So, again, you hate it. How do you think the NBA changes this?
I don't know. I don't really see it changing. That's the bad thing about
yeah.
it. I mean, when you look at it, they, you know, training staffs have gone from, you know, one or two guys to like five, six people with a manager guy over the top of it. And it's just so many different things. The stories you hear about guys managing injuries that aren't even a hint, like you're not injured anymore, but they're still not playing because they're managing it. It's like all of that stuff is just like foreign language to me. My peers, the guys I play with, we wanted to play all of them.
Yeah,
I agree. We didn't want to give the guy behind us a chance to shine so they could say, whoa, he works here or he, nah. We didn't want any of that. If we were playing a game, we wanted to play as many minutes as we can. I mean, you see our guys come out getting attitude because they come out the game and stuff like that. It's a really different generation with the information they're given about injuries and all of these different things, so much more available to them. So that's why you see different things happening.
Quentin Richardson is our guest, longtime NBAer, a studio analyst for the Orlando Magic, co-host of the Knuckleheads podcast. But Q, I got to be honest, loved your NBA career, love your pod with Darius Miles, but I loved your performance in Van Wilder.
Oh, yeah.
The most. And I was actually watching Van Wilder completely randomly a couple of nights ago before we had even discussed having you on the show. Can you take us back to that? Like, this was, you were a young kid at the time. This movie came out in 2002. Ryan Reynolds, Tara Reid. I believe Lamar Odom was in the movie. I think Michael Olajuwon.
Darius Miles was in the movie, too.
Darius Miles was in the movie. Tell us about what it was like filming on set and what you remember from that experience.
So, I can remember when my agent Jeff called and said, hey, you guys want to, like, hell yeah, we'll be in a movie. Like, we didn't care. We thought we were young superstars anyway. We tried to do anything. At that point, we had done, like, the show Arliss. We had been on the show One-on-One. So, at this point, we were like, yeah, shit, we live out here in L.A., let's do it. So, when we get there, like, at this point, like, Ryan Reynolds wasn't the star that he is now either. So, it was like, you know, it's crazy, but, we get that's crazy because we filmed the most of our scenes were like, you know, the basketball stuff. So we filmed at Cal State Northridge actually, that's where I met my wife at. He's crazy.
At that movie shoot?
No, she came to it because they went. Her and her sister went to school there, but we had met like a little bit before that. It was just random that we had to actually go there. But it was. I can remember it, man. It was like we did it for like 2 days. Our scenes were like, you know, obviously basketball scenes. It was just cool to see, like, okay, they spraying sweat on us and all of this stuff. You gotta have your little lines. We had trailers and like a little trailer. It was like some real movie star stuff. I was like, yo, this is crazy.
Well, it's funny because Ryan Reynolds, now, I don't know if you know this, he's like trying to buy an NHL team. So he's a big guy, Canadian too. So, yeah. You know, maybe the knuckleheads.
It's all the royalties he's still getting every time Van Wilder plays.
Exactly.
Is Q Rich getting the same royalties?
Hey, yeah, I got my sad card. I still get like a little $1.17 check here and there, 57 cent here and there, you know.
Nice. Well deserved.
Put that in
well
the deserved. Piggy bank.
Yeah. Every time Van Wilder's on, I am always like, oh, I got to stick around for Q Rich's scene. That's one of my favorites.
Dude, I'm telling you, man. I told you, that movie inspired me to get a bulldog. And I did. Loved it.
Yo, it's hilarious that even though we were such a small part of it, so many people come up and point that out. Like, dude, randomly watching y'all, watching Van Wilder, and I see you guys. I had no. It's like, it's hilarious. We get that a whole lot, like
that's
way
awesome,
more than
man.
One would think.
That's awesome.
It's funny
Van Wilder is like a cult classic. People love it.
Yeah.
Yep. It is. It inspired Carlo to get a bulldog. It's inspired me to get a personal assistant. So, you know, very similar idea.
Yeah,
nice.
I
wish that.
Your name's Taj now.
Yeah, Taj. Taj is my personal assistant. I wish that was the
hilarious.
Case. Q, thank you so much for doing this. Great to have you on. Share some fun stories.
Yeah, good
love to do
man.
It again.
Love this stuff.
We'd love to do it again soon, man. And enjoy the games this weekend.
Okay,
we'll chat again down the road.
Yep, anytime, guys. Let me know. You guys be cool.
Thanks, man.
All right. Thank you very much. Wow. That's probably
the
greatest honor anyone's bestowed onto me. Called us cool. I think he was talking about me, not so much about you, Carlo.
No. I think it together he called us cool.
We are
cool without an
a couple of cool customers. Diminutive and cool. The Aaron Karolnik story. My FanDuel best bet.
He's more diminutive stature.
Okay, Chrissy. Now play when Q called us cool. Can we play that subsequently? We'll do that on the other side, and I'll fill you in on my best bets presented by FanDuel. That's next.